here, Winnipeg, Manitoba, in the area of William Avenue and Isabel Street. This is where 20-year-old Amber Gabosh was seen getting into a red truck with a lone male occupant and was never seen again. Amber's name is now on the list of other Indigenous women and girls who have gone missing. But she is also a sister with a family desperate to find her.
At any time during this broadcast or afterward, if you have any information that might help solve the case of the disappearance of Amber Gabosh, visit our website. Someone out there has answers. Our goal is to find them. Who is the man in the red truck? Did Amber know him, or was he a stranger? Was he the last person who saw Amber Gabosh alive?
Earlier that evening, before she was last seen, Amber's sister, Ashley Getty, said she was doing what most people like to do, visiting with family and friends.
She was at her uncle's place. She was having some drinks there. Supposedly, she went to a friend's place and then she left from there to go back to her boyfriend's, and she never made it there.
It was after leaving her uncle's that Amber went to see a friend, and then something went horribly wrong. Her brother, Kyle Keematch, tries to retrace her steps.
She left from there to go to Roxanne Briere's. She left from Roxanne Briere's, and that's where everything gets shady.
In an instant, Amber was gone, leaving her family with only memories of the time they spent together.
To me, she lit up a room, and sometimes she wouldn't. Sometimes she'd walk in and go and make the room go nuts. It was just the way, it's whatever her mood was in. Most of the time, she always lit up the room. I was always happy, go lucky her.
Big brother Kyle remembers Amber's mischievous nature.
Laughing and joking, teasing. My little sister Amber used to tease me lots. Like when we were younger, she used to grab me right here and say, guess what? What, you're gonna be fatter when you're older. You're gonna be a nice fat man. Yeah.
Kyle also knew that Amber and Ashley had a special bond.
They were always together all the time, playing Barbies, riding bikes. But yeah, they were always together. I remember them, they were always having fun.
But life changed drastically when they lost their mother.
Our mother committed suicide in 1999. That's when my brother Kyle stepped in and was that authority figure for the both of us. He did the best that he could for being a 16-year-old himself.
So I tried, for my family, that's what I tried to do, you know, just try to make sure nobody hurts any of them. Do the best I can to protect them. Yeah, that's how I am. All about the family.
After losing their mother and moving to Swan River, it was then that Ashley noticed a drastic change in Amber.
She was a happy little girl up until her mom ended her life. So that devastated her. She was broken after mom did what she did. Our mother was the world to her. She loved her so much, but she didn't even get to say goodbye. But she didn't get to have that. And I think she felt that our mom just left her and felt abandoned.
Amber's siblings soon made decisions for their own survival and moved away from Swan River. But Amber was too young to go with them. It was a tough decision.
It did hurt. I felt like I failed. Felt like I failed them, yeah. I couldn't take care of them. So, yeah, didn't feel good.
She hated me. This is something I never told people before, so yeah, she told me she hated me. Because I left her high and dry. To live out there without her mom or her brother or sister. So I ignored it. The only way I knew how. By staying away.
It would be years before Amber was reunited with her siblings, but the hope for renewed relationships and the future was stolen the night of November 10th, 2010. Detective Shauna Neufeld describes the scene.
At the time that she was last seen, she was wearing a white hoodie, skinny kind of jeans, and white runners. The individual that she got into the truck with, we believe to be kind of in his 30s at that time in 2010. So a white Caucasian male in his 30s, potentially Irish, potentially reddish hair with hairy arms. Again, he was in his 30s. He was also wearing a green camouflage baseball cap at that time. So that is someone of interest to us in this investigation.
Based on an eyewitness account, this is a sketch of the man Amber was seen talking to and who drove away with her in the red pickup truck. Someone knows who he is. If you have answers or to find out more about Amber Gabash, visit our website. Could this man hold the keys to what happened to Amber? Is it possible that she left of her own free will without telling her family and friends? Could Amber Gabash still be alive? Amber Gabash was 20 years old when she got into a red truck driven by a red-haired man on the evening of November 10, 2010. They left from the corner of Isabel Street and William Avenue in Winnipeg, and Amber never returned home. If you have information or to find out more, visit our website. The news of her disappearance was something her family couldn't make any sense of. It was a shock, and then the reality of the tragedy began to sink in.
I was in the Behavioral Health Foundation. I was struggling with my own addictions. So I was actually ignoring some calls from my cousin. She was sending messages to me saying, call me back, call me back, call me back. I kept ignoring. So I got another message saying, we haven't heard from Amber in a few days. So that's how I found out. And then after a day or two, I went completely numb for about 3-4 weeks. I stared at the floor.
And now she phoned me and she said that she hasn't heard anything. Nobody has. That's when I thought it was serious. And like, because of her lifestyle, right? Because she was young. She was very small, petite, and, you know, she liked meeting people.
Amber's sister tried to make a police report.
I just know I made a police report, but they didn't take it seriously. I think it had to have been my brothers that made the police report, and they took it seriously from them.
Well, at first they were trying to help. It seemed that's to me. It seemed like they were sincerely trying to help. But then it just like to me, it feels like they couldn't find an answer for what happened to her. So then they just said she was a prostitute. And then as soon as you say those words, then people look at it. Oh, it's just another prostitute. So you know she deserves what happened to her, and they don't care anymore.
She was degraded almost immediately. Degraded. She was put at the bottom. You know. Right from the get-go.
The pain a family feels having a missing loved one is something Bernadette Smith knows a lot about. Her sister, Claudette Osborne Tayo, went missing in 2008. She is now an advocate for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls.
For many of the Indigenous women's cases, you know, we often see a negative spin to it. And I know that they say that's what sells, right? But you know, we need to humanize our women. We can't be talking about them as, you know, sex trade, drug addicted, you know, Aboriginal. You know, she's a woman first, and a family loves her and misses her, and, you know, she's valued. She's not just disposable. And, you know, I think that the media does great harm in terms of giving the community permission, you know, to not care.
Sort of killed me on the inside, and just, you know, because you had a family here that's asking for help, and you got people that could help that are just labeling, and, you know, just ruined a lot of things.
Amber's family knows that she was not the sum of her experiences. She was so much more.
I always protected her. I hurt her, too. I mean, we always fight each other, right? We're sisters. She'd hurt me. We call it Bannock slaps on the back. You know, we'd always hit each other. She'd like, tell mom on you. And If you hold my hand all the way to school, I promise I won't tell, but you'd still tell on me. I'd still get in trouble.
She was so skinny, like my mom used to call her Stilts, so we'd call her Stilts. Even like many years, when she was 10 years old, we'd still call her that and get her mad. Those are the days.
Amber, I actually knew Amber as a young girl. I probably met Amber when she was 12 or 13. So Amber was, I worked at a school that Amber went to. So she was a little feisty young lady, you know, had a really strong voice and a lot of life to her. She loved to laugh. She was very social, loved to be around her friends and, you know, just wanted to do what she wanted to do, like every teenager does.
After being separated for years, Ashley welcomed 14-year-old Amber back into her life in 2007.
I was pregnant with my first son. She was so excited. She ended up coming out here to a program. And then she left from the program, and then she was staying in her own group homes and stuff.
She's the same lovable person, joke around all the time, and if there was something bothering her, she was good at hiding it.
But city life and being close to her siblings couldn't chase away Amber's childhood traumas.
There was alcohol involved. I think that was the first thing she has ever tried. And there was also pill issues. But that is something she was trying really hard to fight.
Despite a challenging young life and circumstances beyond her control, Amber was important.
You know, I don't care if someone's had involvement with us in any capacity. If they're missing, we're going to do everything we can in our power to find those answers. So it's never about what past they've had with us. We have a missing person. We want to resolve this investigation. We want to find out, and hopefully in all of those, we're able to find them and find them safe, you know, and resolve it successfully and happily.
She was our sister. She was a person. She had a heart. She had a soul. She was just a beautiful, outgoing person.
Amber's family is relying on you to help in any way and to find the person responsible for her disappearance. Why do these tragedies continue to happen across our country? And what do we need to do to make them stop? What is Amber's family doing to find her and to help other loved ones of the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls? Is there a chance that Amber Gabosh could be brought home? Who is the man last seen with 20-year-old Amber Gabosh the night of November 10th, 2010, Winnipeg, Manitoba? She got into his red pickup truck on the corner of Isabel Street and William Avenue and vanished. Amber's family continues to search for answers and is calling on the community for support and assistance. If you have answers, visit our website. Faced with the mounting questions about what happened to Amber, Kyle and his family took action.
We were going down almost every week, putting up, starting the north end, and just hit every single pole. And I go down Main Street, go down Portage, see people that are going out of town, give them a whole bunch, you know, can you put these up somewhere? And then, yeah, just keep doing that. People rip them down, put another one up, rip them down, put them up higher. Draw pictures on them, rip them off, put a new one on. I was doing that for the longest time. In the winter, in the rain, in the summer, just doing it all the time.
We have a family that's still looking for answers, and you know, I always say, imagine that was your family, and you didn't have answers, and you were still searching, right? That family deserves answers. Those friends and loved ones deserve answers, and if people have information, they should be coming forward.
To support the families, marches, vigils, and ceremonies like wiping away the tears have emerged across the country. Nahani Fontaine is a strong presence at these important gatherings.
Wiping away the tears, we have a variety of different supports. We have elders, we have counselors, we have spiritual advisors. We really start to kind of unpack what trauma looks like. I would argue that most people don't understand trauma. it doesn't matter if you're a family of a missing or murdered loved one. I would argue that most Canadians, most humans don't understand, you know, what trauma is and how it manifests itself. And so, you know, at Wiping Away the Tears, we really try to unpack that so that families can understand, okay, you know, I'm getting triggered right now, or I'm in the midst of my trauma, and how can I better cope? And because what happens is when families get triggered and they're in that trauma, a lot of families, a lot of humans, you know, their coping mechanisms vary.
Amber's family has actively sought out the support of the community and proactively continues to search for answers.
Well, I hope for all our families, right, that, you know, that they get answers. You know, Ashley and Kyle, you know, their family has never given up looking for Amber. You know, they've gone and talked to friends, they've searched, you know, they're doing Drag the Red.
Drag the Red is a movement that empowers family and community, allowing them to search the water of one of Winnipeg's main waterways. It started after 15-year-old Tina Fontaine's body was pulled from the Red River.
Kyle was one of the first ones that responded to a post that I had put on Facebook talking about dragging the Red, and he said, you know, I'm in, I want to do this. And for him, it's been, and he shared this with me, that it's been a healing journey for him because he's actually doing something. You know, he's out there searching, and, you know, whether he finds his sister or he finds somebody else, he's doing something.
I was in Winkler at the time. Tina Fontaine came out of the river. Bernadette put a post on Facebook saying how the river needs to be dragged. So I went and said that I'll do all the labor work. You know, let's get it done, let's do this.
Ashley joined her brother on the Red River and found a certain sense of solace.
So when I first went out, I actually really liked it. I felt that peace doing something. I mean, it's really gross, but I felt that peace, I guess. People kept telling me, you gotta put her name out there, her voice out there. Hear her voice now. So I'm doing my best.
Yeah, it's a horrible event, and I would not wish it on anybody. But in that evil and in that darkness comes like just amazing strength. Like the things that I have seen, it's remarkable what families can do. In that, knowing some of the most savage levels of violence, comes some of the greatest strength and love that you'll ever witness. Kyle now, you know, he's taken his trauma and his anger and his hurt and his pain and his frustration over his sister, and he's a leader in the community for families now. So here he is out on the in a boat dragging the Red, which if you can imagine how emotionally and mentally and spiritually that must be, how draining that must be. You don't know what you're going to pull up. Every time you put that down, you don't know what you're going to pull up. And that he's taking on that sacred role and that responsibility. He speaks at gatherings now. He comes to conferences with us. Ashley has completely turned her life around and is now just finishing organizing her first vigil for Amber.
Out of tragedy, a new community has been born, an alliance of love and courage and reinforcement that the search will never end.
So we do appeal to the public, if you have information, to come forward. If this is a case of foul play, then there's a predator out there that could potentially harm someone else. And if you have information that could help us in this investigation, you could potentially be helping someone else from being a victim down the road. So we appeal to you to do the right thing and come forward.
Photos of Amber are both a treasure and a painful reminder to Ashley of what once was and what is gone.
It's all I have left of her. So I gotta hold on to what I have left. Right, I need to see her eyes again, right? So that's all I got left.
She was a great person. Every time I look at her picture, I just wish there was some way I can trade places, you know? She was very outgoing. She was very loving. You know, if you were hurting and she only had a little bit, she would send it your way, you know. She really would.
A family's love transcends time and space, and Amber will always be cherished.
She's loved, though. She's loved deeply and dearly. And people know that not me or anybody else in my family will stop looking. We're not gonna give up. Can't stop, won't stop.
For more information about Amber Gabash, visit our website.